This is Kimmy Nicole, host of Song and Storytime, and you're listening to KWMR, Point Reyes Station.
Programming on KWMR is underwritten by our listeners and by the Palace Market in downtown Point Reyes Station. Information at palacemarket.com. That's palacemarket.com.
This is Epicenter on KWMR West Marin Community Radio. You can hear Epicenter at 5 p.m. on KWMR or listen to recent archives at kwmr.org. Today, I am your host, Amanda Eichstedt, and my guest is Ike Allen from the Point Reyes Light. Hi, Ike. Welcome to the KWMR airwaves.
Hi, Amanda. Thanks for having me.
How are you doing today?
Doing well. I wanted to let you know, and anyone listening, that this is probably my last time on KWMR because I will be leaving the light full time. I'll be doing some freelance, but doing that in about a week. Next month you'll be probably talking to my fellow reporter Sam.
Well, congratulations, and for a work well done at the Point Reyes Light, Ike. I've always enjoyed reading your articles in the weekly newspaper, and thank you for your service to the community.
Thank you so much. Yeah, thank you.
Well, let's talk about the articles that you wrote in this week's paper, and we encourage our listeners to subscribe to the Point Reyes Light because there's much more in this weekly newspaper than we announce on KWMR. By any means, there's lots of great information, all kinds of stuff in there. So the first one, let's talk about Dave DeSanti. He passed away at the age of 80. I remember seeing him around the Creamery building quite often, and just a really nice fella. I did not realize the depth of his work and his impact on birding.
Yeah, he was absolutely one of Marin's kind of most important kind of accomplished birders and ornithologists, and that's kind of saying a lot because Marin actually is home to a disproportionate number of accomplished birders, I would say. But he founded the Institute for Bird Populations. He started off at what became Point Blue, formerly called the Point Reyes Bird Observatory, and kind of being in charge of the Palo Marin field station near Bolinas, which is kind of for land birds. He also established kind of an important theory for why these lost birds outside of their normal range, which are called vagrants, are kind of so relatively often spotted around the Farallones and the Point Reyes Peninsula. And he did that by basically going out to the Farallones and momentarily trapping birds in a big paper cone where their feet were dyed with ink, and they would hop around and make leave marks on the cone, and he would basically use that and record instances of that over time and kind of develop the theory. And this was while he was at the at PRBO, Point Reyes Bird Observatory, developed the theory that birds that seemed to be lost, it wasn't just random. They actually had a sense, some kind of internal compass guiding them in the wrong direction for migration. So it's kind of like the wiring in their brains was telling them to go in a certain direction, just like any migratory bird, but it was the wrong direction.
Well, you know, it's interesting, because in people, some people have really good, solid sense of direction, and other people really don't. So it doesn't surprise me that that would occur in other species.
Yeah, and I think, we don't know that much about how animals find their way. I mean, animal navigation is really complicated and kind of, something that hasn't been studied enough, but he did some really important work there. And he also studied for decades in the Sierras and published an important paper that kind of was the summation of a lot of his life's work just a year before he died. So,
pretty amazing. And then, and sadly, but also he passed while he was out doing what he loved the most, which was looking at birds.
Yep, yep. He was out at the Marin Headlands, and he was chasing after a really rare bird that usually isn't spotted in this area. It's called a willow warbler.
I'm always so amazed. I can identify a handful of birds and even fewer calls, but the observing of these tiny creatures and knowing what they are and knowing that something is different and is out of place. I know that a lot of birds do fly through this area, so this is such a rich area for birding.
Yeah, I'm the same way. If I saw a willow warbler here, which is never really in this area, I probably wouldn't know it's anything special.
I wouldn't know it's anything.
I'm glad that there are people who do.
Yeah, there's a really strong birding community, and several of those folks were quoted in your article. I'm curious, so, I mean, did you ever speak with Dave yourself, or was all of this work done just purely after he passed away?
This was all done after. I wish I'd been able to speak to him. I mean, I've written a few obituaries at my time here where I really felt sorry that I was only really getting to know about the person's accomplishments and their personality and their life in West Marin after they died, because it would have been great to meet them. But yeah, that was the case here, unfortunately.
Yeah. Very rich and long life, leaves a family behind, and we offer our condolences to his family and friends. And are just really glad that you were able to write such a deep story about him, because, like you, I just saw him around. I sort of knew who he was, but I had no idea the depth of his work with birds.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the other article that you have in here this week is about the state approving the Seashore Air Tour rules. And this is something that's been going on for a while. Do you want to walk us through the timeline and also what the end results are with this?
Yeah, I mean, this is sort of a wonky piece of policy that national parks, and in particular the Point Reyes National Seashore and Golden Gate National Recreation Area, have had to pursue. There was actually a lawsuit few years ago that kind of spurred this, spurred several parks having to take action on this. But basically, they have to pursue more strict regulations on air tours, like air sightseeing tours from planes. And there's only one, so this doesn't apply to, like, you know, general aviation or commercial airlines or anything like that, but it does apply to one company called Seaplane Adventures that you may have seen if you're driving on the 101 freeway, sort of past Richardson Bay near Mill Valley on your way to the Golden Gate Bridge. You'll see some kind of vintage-looking seaplanes parked in the bay there, or maybe you've seen them landing or taking off. And it's a company that's been around for a while, but they're the only such company that operates air tours that go over either the Point Reyes Seashore or the Golden Gate National Recreation Area. And so they're subject to this new regulation. It basically cuts down on the number of flights they're allowed to take, but it does so with an eye to, like, what is the average that they're actually taking, and it just limits it to that number, which is about 2,500 flights a year. Also, it establishes different kind of regulations on how high they have to fly to avoid impacts to wildlife and sensitive habitat areas, and also to visitors to the parks who might be annoyed or distracted by loud noises of the planes. They're seaplanes with propellers. They're kind of noisy. This has been something. The park put this forward last year, and then this year we see the Coastal Commission approved it without much fanfare, the California Coastal Commission. But we just kind of wanted to, you know, we follow the park pretty closely, so this is just something that we wanted to update everyone on.
It's interesting that it only applies to this one company. I mean, the company's been a bit of a lightning rod over the last several years as it is, you know, not necessarily coming into compliance with COVID stuff and things like that, being a little bit of a lightning rod.
Yeah, the Aaron Singer, who I spoke to for this article, he had some complaints about this regulation. He said, you know, I mean, essentially, he told me various sort of issues he had with it when we first wrote about it and also now. But he said, you know, basically we fly without safety incident and without problems, and they haven't consulted us enough when passing these regulations. And, you know, there's been other regulatory issues where the company has kind of come under some fire. In one case, it was noise complaints, and the Planning Commission was looking to limit his flights, but that happened in 2017, but they didn't end up doing it because they determined that the FAA was really in charge there. And then there was also the sheriff's office threatened the company with fines after they kept operating during the early days of the pandemic and the lockdown. So yeah, there's been some regulatory kind of issues with the company.
Are there any other policies that you're aware of that do impact other aviation? Like if you or I had a plane and we wanted to fly over Point Reyes or military or, you know, PG&E inspecting the lines. I mean, there's a lot of overflight noise that happens that's not those seaplanes that are doing the tours.
Yeah. No, it's interesting. I mean, the FAA, Federal Aviation Administration, is basically in charge of all that, and you know, there's a wide array of regulation that I don't have, you know, in my mind. I mean, I don't know too much about how the ins and outs of it, but I mean, this is really relatively, you know, kind of a niche issue.
So I know it is kind of interesting because I mean, I spend a lot of time out in the park, and I mean, where was I? Yeah, I was somewhere, and these big, I was standing at the campground and getting my mail, and these giant sort of military helicopters with like this giant proboscis off the front, like flew really low. We were like, oh my, what's going on there? You know, oftentimes we have military planes and we have no lack of commercial airlines going over all the time. I flew in a plane and looked right down at my house coming home from Seattle, and I was like, you can drop me off here.
Yeah, I've had the same thing happen. And Christian Anthony, West Marin Feed, he kind of monitors the flight maps, and kind of will usually tweet about something when there's a loud noise over like Tamales Bay or over Inverness.
Right. Well, that's interesting. Well, at least they get to sort of keep their average. So it doesn't seem like they're being penalized. But, you know, if they were looking for having a lot of growth, that would be a problem. Or I guess would it limit another company from coming in to operate tours in a similar way? So that, and then in a way he sort of has a lockdown if that's what his average is and that's what he's doing. Nobody else could really do it.
Yep, that's right. I mean, it kind of limits it to exactly what's going on right now, which means that no one else can really start operating in that space.
And it did seem that the elevations had been increased for some of those flights just to sort of protect the different wildlife species, including, I thought was interesting, including cows.
Yeah, there was mention of dairy cows as being potentially impacted. So.
Yes, we don't want to impact them in that manner. Okay, well, Ike, are there any other issues around the paper that you are interested in letting us know, or are you interested in telling us perhaps what you're going to be doing since you're stepping away?
Yeah, well, I'll outline what's going on with the paper. I mean, so in this edition, there's some, you know, my co-reporter, my colleague Sam Mondros has got some good stories. One of them is some good news about Shoreline. School district got a $150,000 grant to basically look at improving the food lunches and food service program for kids there. And, you know, I've been hearing for a while since I've been here pretty much that, you know, kids at Shoreline do not have great food. And despite the fact that, you know, we're in this agriculturally rich place and a lot of parents of kids at Shoreline work in agriculture. But basically it's called a farm to school grant. And, you know, I think it just seems like a progress in the right direction in that regard.
Yeah, it seems to make a lot of sense in terms of where we are, and just providing kids with excellent nutrition at school is a great way. I know I've talked pretty extensively with Lourdes Romo from Paper Mill Creek Children's Corner, who recently also received a grant to provide, they cook all the food there for those kids at that preschool. So mm-hmm. it makes sense for them to do that also at the school. And it was interesting to me that there are the two kitchens for Shoreline, one at Westmoreland School and one at Tamales, and the one at Westmoreland School also serves the Inverness School.
Right.
But this will allow them to increase their staffing so that they can actually do what they intend to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it looks like. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I believe that's where most
But don't you remember the school lunches? I know I've got a few years on you, Ike, but, you know, sloppy Joes and chocolate milk and, you know, bad French fries and... That was what school lunch was all about.
Kind of fondly, in a way, but yeah, it's you know, I think they have evolved.
I think they've evolved. Good for them. I think throw down some corn chips and throw some chili on there is what I say. That's what we ate: hamburger buns with some undescribable concoction on top of them. On a regular basis. Well, good for Shoreline. I hope that really takes hold and can move in a forward direction. It sounds like it's happening sort of regionally as well.
Mm-hmm.
From that mm-hmm. article.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. What else?
Well, I mean, I'll just say something that we are watching pretty closely and I've been working on. This was in last week's edition, and there's probably going to be a related story in next week's edition. Is the county's regulation of short-term rentals. And this has been discussed a lot as the county's been, you know, kind of having meetings around housing policies and stuff, and whether, you know, how much of an impact vacation rentals like Airbnbs have on the availability of affordable housing, the availability and affordability of housing in West Marin. And so, you know, the county has the moratorium on new short-term rentals in the West Marin transient occupancy tax area, but they also have, they're also kind of just beginning to take feedback on what a long-term regulatory ordinance would look like, because this has basically been, you know, substantially unregulated until the moratorium. So, I think we heard from a lot of people leading up to the moratorium who were in favor of, you know, stricter regulation and in favor of the moratorium itself, because, you know, they saw the short-term rentals as taking up units that could be rented long-term to locals, to people who actually need to live here in a more affordable way. But also, more recently, I think we've heard from a slightly more organized group of short-term rental operators who kind of have driven home the point of, like, you know, this is how we afford to own property here. So, you know, this is kind of something that we're going to be following really closely, I think. And once the county comes up with regulations next year, we'll see exactly how strict they are, I guess.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I ran a bed and breakfast when I first moved here, all the way up until just five years ago, along with working at the radio station in order to supplement my income, that had been a bed and breakfast since the 80s, and continued to rent our cottage as a supplemental income rental on a short-term basis. But I can tell you that the advent of the big VRBO and Airbnb companies has really changed the landscape significantly. So it's time to take a look at this overall as a system and what it works really the best for the community. I remember when I first got here and, you know, people were complaining that nobody was coming to West Marin, because we needed a sign on 101 to tell people, because they just passed by and went to Mendocino, you know, and things have really, really changed since then over the past about 20 years. So, I'll be tracking that and following that myself as well. I saw on the front page, though, Ike, that the pet issue is coming up. And this is one of the beloved issues where people can take a picture of their beloved animal companion and send it into the Point Reyes Light, and they will put it in there and attribute it to the pet's name and the owner's name and the town where that animal lives. And that's exciting.
Yep. And that's the week of Christmas, so it's always kind of a fun issue where, you know, people aren't working as much. People are, you know, this kind of gives us a little breather, too, from reporting, and it's a fun issue. So,
wow.
Yeah, you can email that. If you have a picture, email it by December 21st, and it's davidcharlesbriggs@gmail.com.
So I'm on it. I'm going to be on it. And I also noticed in this paper the notification that I've also seen from the county of Marin that property tax payments are due coming up here, and people should make sure that if they own their property and they are paying their taxes, that you can postmark them by Monday, December 12th. Or deliver them to the tax collector by 5 p.m. on Monday, December 12th, or pay online or by phone by 11:59 p.m. on December 12th. So the date there to remember is December 12th for paying your property taxes. Well, Ike, congratulations. We hope to see a couple of features from you in the paper going forward. It sounds like you might be freelancing and sort of sticking around with the local news here in West Marin a bit. And like I said before, thank you for all your great reporting.
Thank you, Amanda. Yeah, thanks for having me on.
You bet. Have a great day and a good week. And thank goodness it's raining.
I know. Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.
Epicenter is a series dedicated to community and public affairs in West Marin. If you have ideas for topics, email programming@kwmr.org. You can stream the audio archives of Epicenter shows on our homepage, kwmr.org. Thanks so much for listening.
Station. ain't that news, man, ain't that news. I can't wait to get a home where we can finally be alone. Disconnect my telephone. Ain't that good news, man, ain't that news. Baby's coming home tomorrow. Ain't that good news? Man, ain't that news? Good news. Good news. Ain't that good news? Ain't that news?
TV screen, bad news on the magazines, bad news on the newspaper, bad news on the elevator, bad news on the street, bad news on my car, bad news under my feet, bad news at the bar, all over my clothes, under my hat, on the radio, in the laundromat, hanging in the air, laying on the ground.
Trail, bad news on my phone.